And I couldn't explain it to you. But what I propose to you, rather than explaining it to you and then doing the fix, that's the easy way of doing it. It is so easy that you tend to take everything that you take for granted, which is never possible. So what I propose to you is starting it with you, perhaps finishing the relative paragraph, and then returning to it and explaining to you what it's all about. The Prophet Chaim says, on page you say, the person who speaks Lashon Hara and the person who listens to Lashon Hara also transgresses a further negative precept in the Torah. And the negative precept is, before a blind man, you are not to put a stumbling block. So the person who speaks Lashon Hara is making the person who lends the ear to Lashon Hara, makes him listen to it. And since he listens to it, he transgresses the precept of don't put a stumbling block before another. So the person who is speaking Lashon Hara is causing the one who listens to Lashon Hara, causing him to listen to it. So he is transgressing the law, the negative precept of and the one who listens to Lashon Hara, imagine if the one speaks Lashon Hara and the one who is listening to Lashon Hara either puts the lobes of his ears into his ears and can't hear what he's saying, or gets up and quietly removes himself from the room. And the person who is speaking Lashon Hara remains without an audience. What do you think he's going to do? You think he's going to go on speaking? He'll stop speaking. But if the person who is listening to Lashon Hara persists in remaining where he is and listening to it, then he causes the person who is speaking the Lashon Hara, he takes more of him and he causes him to speak. So both the person who speaks Lashon Hara and the person who listens to Lashon Hara, each one transgresses the precept of the listener, even a sitting mixture, before the blind person, one is not permitted to put a stumbling block. This show is a stumbling block.
What is the ritual?
This show. So he's listening to Lashon Hara.
What is listening to the truth, maybe?
The truth is Lashon Hara.
Of course, of course. But according to training, then, what's the one wrong? He uses it. What's the eBay? I don't understand what the eBay is. What's the show?
If somebody comes to you and says, Mr. Do you know Mr. Solitary? I say, yes, of course I know him very well. You think you know him well. I've got something to say. What do you think he's going to say? What a wonderful and trustworthy man he is.
But what did you do?
The evil.
Who is the evil?
You are the evil.
I don't feel about the person with me.
Doesn't matter about the effect you are what. It means that you are being caused to stumble. I'll explain that a little bit further after all. You are being caused to stumble. That is it. Listen, I'm sorry, when you listen, then the person who tells it is the evil. The person who tells it. You give him the opportunity to go. I'll explain that a little bit better. Please bring up the subject again when I repeat it. You give each one the opportunity for him to transgress negative precepts that are mentioned explicitly in the Torah. The first precept that we dealt with was Lo-Tele Rochim, not allowed to speak Lashon Hara. So by your listening to him, you are giving him the opportunity to speak Lojanodara and he says grace, then you say, you're not allowed to speak Lojanodara. So not only is he transgressing that you mustn't speak Lojanodara, and not only are you transgressing because you are listening to Lojanodara, but you are also transgressing because you are giving him the opportunity to speak Lojanodara and to transgress to say like Rochel. Which means that there is another precept which he is, which you are obeyed and he is obeyed by making you listening to it. If he wouldn't speak, you wouldn't listen to it. Those are the laws of saying here.
Those are two different ones. Yes. We now have two concepts. One was the result of the show. One that both who participate in Russian Hara are equally guilty.
Let me add before. I'm a rabbi of the Chabela, and the next decision, they might say that Rocky Barmerka. Again, he's only the second precept. They see you, shame will show.
Yes. It's true of him. In this context.
And he's also aided by Yishima Benega Tzurah, he's supposed to aid the Lazarus. So it's clear that he's aided. Now we come to a fourth that he's aided. That he transgresses. So please carry on from there.
I just wanted to differentiate between the two. There is, we are talking, in the context of this particular paragraph, we are talking about two. One is the result of the show, and one who, that we're saying, both of them are and the one who goes over the top there, both of them are over on the Aveiro.
Of which Aveiro? Already we've got three separate lovers.
That was from another one. I wasn't sure about
it. Yes, that is these three separate lovers. Now there is a fourth one. I'll get into it. I'll explain this. But you can fix time. You have to cut it for me. Then I'm a suffering by my cave for it. Since the prophet's kind, nevertheless, there is a distinction between the one who tells the Rojanodara and the one who listens to the Rojanodara. Because the one who says the Roshan Ora, let us say he's speaking Roshan Ora to everyone that is here in the room, then he is over the listening either they sit in Misha. And if there's only one person in the room, also over the listening either they sit in Misha. He's putting a stumbling block. The other of the coach is Rabbi Hashem, is Rabbi, or whatever loves it. In fact, the more people that are listening to him, the more aggravating is the love of the Nikla Ibel and C.J. Mishel. He who knows the Nikla and Mishel is like come or not him, because he's placing a stumbling block in front of many people. No Kaila Makabe. However, with the person who listens to Roshan or Rabbi is a difference. It's possible, says the Kovitz Chaim, and this is one of the many, many wonderful things about the Kovitz Chaim, it is, I can't give you definitely, but I can give you some idea. He says that in the case of the person who is listening to the Roshanara, the person who listens to the Lord will only be over, will only transgress with the ego they see the minister if he's the only one who listens. But let us say there are five people listening. So if he goes out, if the person speaks Lord Nora going to stop? He's not going to stop. So if there is more than one person listening, then those who listen aren't only disabled in the city. But what do they do is they cause they aren't able because he will go on speaking in any case. So it's only the one who speaks who is able to be saying in the city. Yes, Howard.
One person
in
the audience
and
the other
exactly, because if he would stop listening, then the speaker would stop speaking.
Well, if there's more than one person in the room, it seems to be logically necessary that each one is as guilty as though he were alone.
Really true.
Because he must be speaking.
That's really true. has given a Kobe's kind in front of you. Here you got you. I can't say he's a good man, Joseph. In the Ba'el of Mayim Chaim, he says it is precisely for that reason that he says it's possible that he's not Eved. It's possible that he is Eved also. It's possible that if there are more, if there are five people, it's possible that each one bears the responsibility. But it's possible that not. He is speaking halachically, you see. Halachically. So the Kobe's Chaim says, I haven't reached a conclusion on that point. So it's possible that if there are more than the recipient, he's over the other lobby. Do you understand? The other lobby, the another four that he transgresses. But it's possible this one is only the speaker who transgresses and not the listener.
Yes?
I don't have the responsibility to try to stop it.
You don't have to stop it. You can't stop it. In what way you can't stop it? I don't want you to think that he's got to give him a sermon.
No, but
I don't want you to think that he's got to go up to him and try him and he put his hand in front of his mouth.
So they still have an obligation. If he walks out.
No, yes. That's all he's got to do. He's got to walk out.
One-on-one and he walks out. Yes. Then he is in fact setting an example.
He's stopping the person most people know about.
So if there are five people with the rest of the people, does one have a responsibility to stop it anyway?
Everybody's got a responsibility.
I know, but what about one person?
Everybody, not one person, everybody's got a responsibility. It's very
difficult to get five people at once to stop something.
But you don't have to worry about the five, you only worry about yourself.
So that one person has responsibility.
One person walks out fine, then the other will probably follow afterwards. Now the second thing, you say, if he's only one person and that person walks out, then the killer will have nobody to whom to kill it. And at the top of the table, for those who have got Chabad Chaim, at the top of the table to give it. But if this he or they shall be my aim, that is my fair. But if at the time that the killer is killing his Lotan or Ra, and there are four other people listening, then it's possible that the listener doesn't transgress this particular law of the listener, even as he can reach out. I am the Ba'im Al-Khayim. But he transgresses only the other laws forbidding listening to Lotan Hora or speaking Lotan Hora. Now he goes on and explains a little bit further. The whole there involved acharas cholas asir. All this that we have said is only if he comes after he has begun to speak. Let us say he comes, four people are sitting and listening there. And he comes in and he joins the other four. So he's over on the same echrochim. So he's already got one commandment that he transgresses. He transgresses the commandment Lotizo Shemato. So he's already got two that he's transgressing. He's over the commandment Lishoma Beneda Soras, which is already three that he's transgressing, which we have covered. Now there are four people sitting and one and a fifth person is holding four. And he comes and joins the other four. So the Chofetz Chaim says it's possible that he doesn't transgress this precept of Rita even as Rita Hilda. But the first one was there when he began to tell his Lotan Hora. Even if afterwards there are others who join him, Tavali under the whole Gavri, he are your Ehus Chavodiso. Then, of course, he is responsible under any circumstances. The first one will be written, because that's just a whole matter of emotion. So, really, they are ever the first one who is there. He is certainly over the situation. They are called for him, certainly, reserve their own. They have bullets. Now, he says, this is another. Now, the Chofetz Chaim is speaking about the type of company we enjoy. Must a person is expected to choose his company. We are called for it. And under all circumstances, says the Chofetz Chaim, Tzorich Le'izor El Ve'Hom Ve'Hom V'Chaburus Ko'Eleh Shelo'i Le'Shev Imo'Hem. One should be very careful in these circumstances not to sit amongst them. Ki Le'Malo Kulon Yechtovim V'Shem Chaburus Resha. Because in the heavens above, all of them are entered in the ledger under the term of Chaburas Resha, wicked company. Ki kain iso betzavos rabbi Eliezer agono shetivo lerutimus benevra. Because in the last testament, that the great rabbi Eliezer commanded to rutimus his son, this is an exact quote from the testament. Beni, my son, says Rabbi Eliezer Akon, al teishen the chaburos who only deny my chavre head. Don't sit in that company of people who speak ill of others. Ki keshi adavoyin only ulemayo. The key, because when each word ascends to the heavens above, and we discussed it as recently as this afternoon, that there is nothing that is lost in speech. It's always there. And these words ascend to the heavens above. And when people were more primitive than they are today, that was 50 years ago, they used to think it was on a gramophone record. But now we become so advanced that we know it's not so. That the words themselves, not in grammatical record, are nearer lost, and there they are. The Satan is told, here they are written, they are entered into a ledger. The whole only from Nichtov in the Shem Chaburas Resha. And anybody who is standing in that company, who is together with that company, are also entered into that ledger, a ledger under the name of a wicked company. That is the spell. And all these areas together comprise the entity which is there. Are you able to hear me all if I drop my voice a little bit? At the back of you, which is very heavy, it's easier for me to speak if I drop my voice down. Especially when I'm choosing to answer anything. All these areas together comprise that entity which is there. For example, there is Ayol Hod. There is Musan. There is Yush. There is Sein. There is Machshava. There is philosophy. All these are various areas of terror. Not aspects, but areas of terror. The first one I gave you was Halacha. Now Halacha is the most important of all the areas. Because without Halacha, all the other areas will be lost. The best example is Kabbalah. Kabbalah is an area of faith. But without Halacha, Kabbalah becomes, what should I call it? If I'm
mysticism,
what? Mysticism, that's exactly what it is. And what is mysticism? So without halacha, Kabbalah becomes mysticism. Without halacha, philosophy, if you can say anything, it's philosophy. Philosophy of Judaism. You can say anything. It's philosophy.
Could I just have to...
How you can go wrong without a law? I'm going to give you an example. this little article is called Never Done. And I'm reading to you the first part of the article. We try to avoid thinking about death. Nothing wrong with that. It's true. The lifeless body is lowered into the ground and covered with earth. No trouble with that. Does it matter that I lived? Did my life make a real difference? Questions are good. It depends what the answer is. We believe that the human being is an eternal spiritual entity. Now what does that mean? Let us see. We believe that the life after death is even more real than life in this world. Excellent. Everything that is said there is perfect. Consistent with Allah. Let us take the next paragraph. How do I live on after death? Good question. Depends upon the answer. Here's the answer. Through deeds of love, kindness and caring, which make the world a better place and inspire others to emulate my life and carry on my ideals. So what does that mean? That means in Parashara Sadefish, life after death, that's not. What is life? You've got to live well on this earth. That is what it means. Now, if you know halacha, you reject that immediately. If you don't know halacha, you say, of course this is right. It was printed in the New York Times. Not the New York Times, the New York Times. It was printed in the New York Times. It must be right. If you don't know any halacha, it's right. What is the meaning of the immortality of the soul? Doesn't say that to me. I'll tell you that. Through my family, which is a living embodiment of my goals and ideals, by raising children who really care that I am gone because of the void I've left behind. That's not failure. Philosophy is philosophy of Judaism. You can say anything more philosophy of Judaism. If you haven't got the halacha, you've got nothing to test it with. What is so wonderful about halacha is not that you can't make a mistake in halacha. Of course you can make a mistake out of halacha. But how far can you go on making mistakes in halacha? Very soon you come up against a blank wall. And that is why we are so opposed to people learning Kabbalah without halacha. Immediately becomes mysticism. There's no way of teaching it. Don't understand it. So when you've got halacha, then you've got all the deen concerning dying, the whole halacha of it. And the meaning of your child and all halacha, and why and when. And you can't say this sort of thing. Now he goes on and he develops. That very many forms of modern Judaism stop there. And that is what it means, that is a mortality. That is how with halacha you can check up in. So, halacha is one of the areas of Torah, but it is such an important area of Torah because this is the check on everything else, that you know where you're going, you know what you are doing. The only thing I can compare it to in the world of science is mathematics. It's something that all the other sciences, somehow or other, you will use mathematics. Come in somewhere. Halacha is something that is everywhere. What the Chofetz Chaim does in his Chofetz Chaim, he is discussing one singular question. We can call it in modern language an ethical question. Disparaging another person. Speaking disparagingly of another person. What the Chofetz Chaim does is He examines this from the halakhic point of view. And that is what he's doing in the first section of the Prophet's Khan. Now, let us go on from there a little bit further. You are coming into a shiur. It is not a human shiur. It is a halakha shiur on Muslim. It is where the halakha comes into Muslim. And so the Chofetz Chaim is explaining it all halakhically. You know, you get a man is a workman, that a good day's work, and he hears that there's a professor giving a lecture at Stanford University, and there's no entrance fee, and it's a cold winter's night, and he wants to save putting on the heating. I go and listen to what this professor has got to say. He goes into bed, it's a physics professor, and he's speaking about the atom, and explains to his audience what matter is, what an atom is, and how little there is that is actually matter, and it's all energy, and what energy is, and then he speaks about protons and nucleus, and protons and electrons, and then he speaks about particles, and then he speaks on what the needle is. Quarks. Quarks get speaking out of quarks. And this person, this is a sensible person. And he turns around to me and he says, because taking this, he says, what dancement is? So, what do you want this own business for? In order, he says, I make horseshoes. In order to make a horseshoe, I've got to know all this business. And even if I don't make horseshoes, if I build a house, then I need to know all this business. Even if it's true, it's about me, the scientists, and the companies are there. To me, the whole method is questionable. But let us say it's true. So what do we want to all this? His standard at his level is quite right. He can't do anything. I know that there are people that at their level, what is all this halakha about? Going into all this detail, what do you want all this detail for? Give us the law and that's all there is. So, you understand why I said gradually, we are reaching the number that was anticipated for this year. Everybody's covered. Not everybody can take it, not everybody can understand it, not everybody can digest it. That is halakha. Now let me go on to the third point that I want to make in connection with this chapter. Is a law in the Torah? The least they think they may sit in the Torah. I decided to find it in the Chumash, in case you thought that I might have just thought it all out. Don't curse a dead person. You see only your lips moving. Doesn't that what you say? And you curse him. And you say, please, write down on this piece of paper what you say. And you say, I say, bless thy lips. And then curse him. So don't curse him. But if my email is even mixture, only one thing. And before a blind man, don't put a stumbling block. And you shall fear Hashem, I am Hashem. You shall fear your God, I am Hashem. We are dealing with the midnight even as it is. Now, this covers various aspects of a law. The Chinuch, the paper of Chinuch says, that the shoresh of this law, of the Nifnei Ibn and Sita Rachel, the root of it is Tikkun Bo'el. That means that we could take all the laws of the Torah and divide them into categories. This particular law belongs to the category of Tikkun Bo'el. The best way I can translate Tikkun Bo'el is providing for the welfare of society. Yeshiva Elyon, nothing confused with Yeshiva Elyon. Yeshiva Elyon means practically doing something whereby society can benefit. I am a builder, a contractor, I'm contributing to Yeshiva Elyon. I am a physicist, I'm contributing to Yeshiva Elyon. I am a street cleaner, I'm a garbage collector, I'm contributing to Yeshiva Elyon. And no one must despise the work of a garbage collector. He's earning a living, he's performing a service. This is Yeshiva Elyon. The only one who is despising the Torah is the gambler. He's not making any contribution to society at all, that's not what he makes a living. Yeshiva Elyon. This is Tikkun HaOlam. It provides for the welfare of society. One example that is given in the Torah of the Litvei Iver and Sipei Nichet, a simple example. A man has got a property, and he thinks, and correctly, that I am a person who knows about property and understands property. And he says, or comes to ask me advice. Should I sell that property or shouldn't I sell that? And I think to myself, well, I can do a tremendous amount with that property. He doesn't know it's worth that. I say to him, it's a good time to sell. Now, interest rates are coming down. It's a seller's market. Get into it. Sell it. He sells it. I buy it. I might find it a little bit awkward buying it. I'm even prepared to let somebody else buy it. And I buy it from somebody else and I'll pay more for it. I need it very bad. So what have I done? I have transgressed the law of a listener, even on Sidney Mitchell. I put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. That is the most obvious example of a listener, even on Sidney Mitchell. Now let me come to a second example of a listener, even on Sidney Mitchell, which now involves two people. There is a law in the Torah that if I lend somebody money, I'm not permitted to take interest on that. If I lend a fellow Jew money, then I'm not permitted to take interest on that money. I want to add in parenthesis that if I lend him money with which to do his business, then I'm allowed to take interest. That is done in another way. I made a partner or a sleeping partner in the business. And for that there is what is known as a heter iskon. And so a Jewish bank takes interest from his, a Jewish banker takes interest from his Jewish client who comes in to borrow money. He wants to buy property, he wants to make profit, he wants to go into a business, and buys from him. And in the Israeli banks, in the banks in Israel, if you go in, you will find framed the heter iskon. The document which is used for these transactions. But if a person is in difficulty and he's got to pay his baker, he's got to pay his butcher, he's got to pay his groceries, he's got to pay his rent, and he's just going through a difficult time and he wants some help, and he's lent money, and in those circumstances, is he permitted to pay any interest? This is something different. There is an accompanying law. The person who receives the money, under those circumstances, if he allows to pay interest to the person who lends it. The person who receives it can't say, yeah, this is his account. I'm prepared to pay, I need the money. If he won't give it to me without interest, I'll pay interest. He's got the transgression. I'm not allowed to borrow without money. So it's clear that if a man lends money and with interest, then the borrower transgresses for paying the interest, and the lender transgresses for receiving the interest. And both transgress. So they transgress that law. Comes another law in the Torah. The law of the Lishmaq Ibn and Sita Yishtha. Law of the Lishmaq Ibn and Sita Yishtha says that the lender who lends the money and takes interest, he transgresses the law of thou shalt not take interest, and in addition he transgresses the law of Ibn Sita Yishtha, because he is causing the recipient to pay interest. If he wouldn't take interest, then the recipient wouldn't be given the interest. So he is causing the recipient to pay the interest. Likewise, the recipient is also transgresses the law of Ibn Sita Yishtha, because he is causing the lender to take interest. If he wouldn't give the interest, he might not have the loan, but then he wouldn't be getting the interest from it. So each one transgresses the belief that even as he can do. So now I've given you two cases. I've given you a case where only one person transgresses the belief that even as he can do, and I've given you the case where both transgress the belief that even as he can do. The notion of Ra falls into the second person. We have already had three negative precepts that the one who speaks Loshon Hora transgresses. Three negative precepts. Say the Chofetz Chaim near the fourth. The Lishmei Ibei Rosite Nish. Don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Of a person who does it right. It is true. He has learned that it's wrong to speak Loshon Hora. If he has learned it, that it's wrong to speak Loshon Hora, then he knows it. I want to explain something. In the very same person, in the very same matter, of which he has knowledge, the knowledge varies from time to time. How much knowledge, how much he knows, varies the quality of the knowledge, not the quantity of the knowledge, which on other occasions we have called the tsuror of the knowledge as opposed to the chomer of the knowledge. That the quality of the knowledge is continuously varied. Let me give you an example. That a person doesn't do. Oh, and we're going to have a lot more of this in the morning show. Oh, if you would have told Oh, not in that, but 5 years ago, Oh, would you ever think of stealing? You say, what are these? If you would have told him 42 years ago, when he stood at Mahmud Arsina, you would have said, Oh, Khan, would you steal? You shut up. He just heard the Assyrians of Jesus, he heard Hashem say they sit there. He heard Moshe teaching there. Gave you all these words. That during the course of 40 years it wears off. So he hasn't got that knowledge in as intense a form as he had it when he stood at Mahmud Mahasina. Therefore, he is now, comparatively speaking, an evader, blind with regard to the seriousness of it all. Comparatively speaking, or relatively speaking, he is blind. And now, he is speaking Loshon Hora. You think he doesn't know that it's wrong to speak Loshon Hora? It is, they say, make rochim, it says all these things it says here. They say that rochim ba'amecho. He knows the law. Isn't that amazing? When temptation has got the better of him, he's got his gates of Ora to contend with. Can we see the diminution of the intensity of it now? So, relatively speaking, he is blind. And another person comes and sits down and is prepared to listen to it. What does it mean? That in this particular instance, he's putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. That is in reply to your question, Mr. Jeff. You understand now what I'm saying? It is really that you are only getting the vibes or vibes? That you are only getting the vibes, or this is a form of humility? These are not concepts, these are principles we use. We go beyond the stage of the concept already. These are principles. Now, and the same regards the recipient. He is listening to Rosh Hashanah. You know, when my uncle used to speak to us, whatever he used to speak to us, he could never do any wrong in that world. Forever? No. For a year? No. For a month? No. For a week, perhaps. For 24 hours? No question. Probably for 72 hours we would be safe. After 72 hours it wears off. So 72 hours later, relatively speaking, you are looking at you're a blind person now. And then if somebody puts it in your way, he's over but he's like even as he came in. So it works very, this is halacha, you see. And halacha is safe. And the text is to make a mistake. But I'm speaking about people who've got a grada seichel, straight seichel. If you've got a crooked seichel, there's only one thing you can do, get it straightened out. But most people who've got a crooked seichel, don't want to have it straightened out. Because you have to want it straightened out, you need a grada seichel. So it's a vicious seichel, you can never get straightened there. So it's only very exceptional cases that a person with a crooked seichel ever gets right. But if there is the motivation, you'll get it right. There are ways in which one can get it right. I've seen how it's got wrong. So if one has a grada seichel, that is halacha. Make a mistake. But sooner or later you come up against the same rule. Can't go wrong for very much longer. So that is the meaning of the Lifnei Iver and Sifrei Rishis. I don't think I'm dealing here with any material that overloads the lift, overloads the elevator. But if I am dealing with material that overloads the elevator, that material says, yes, H-A-I-R-S, not H-A-R-S, these flipping hairs, to a person belongs to it, this is everything. I belong to a mobile show. To the Yerusha for which I have responsibility, that these are its statutes. To what extent I'm responsible for another person? But
I'm listening to machine. It's about 23. I just came in. And I'll talk to you later. Bye. Good afternoon. So if you come back when you get here, home, and then I can set that as a quick call. Otherwise, we could get maybe two stations together because those would be better for you. But I don't, you know, have to go after that same day or after that Sabbath. Mm-hmm. You're ready? Thank you.
Okay.
Leave it to me.
Holy Virgin, I want you to see the face of sculpture.
Not this monster made of the paintings, but the real sculpture made out of clay.
See the beauty? They even refused to.
And it's face. It would be great. Say something else while the living. Then it comes in another thing. And sit with I need comments. Give me some bread. I'm kidding you, give me some bread. The Nachman Bratislava says, give me some bread, he goes out to look for bread. The three come back to you. No words. Impossible. Can't do anything about it. So that Nachman Bratislava goes to his study. And he drops to do it. And he confronts Hashem for it. Just see what your commandments do. The Tsar is given commandments. No smuggling. What the penalty is for smuggling. I found three people to give me contraband without any trouble of giving me the contraband. But the Tsar says you're not allowed to do it. Who cares about the Tsar if the Rebbe says he wants it? I asked them to give months and comments on Pesach. What prevents them? There's a law in the Torah. In the whole town it's not to be done. Why? But the Tsar didn't prohibit it, but Hashem did. This is your people. Hashem, deal with them at home. Deal with them at home. That is a love in the Torah. What it means? If it's prohibited by the Torah, what it means? For anyone who has the sensitivity for it. If you haven't the sensitivity for it, then Musar is not for you. Leave it alone. Allah is not for you. Leave it alone. Enjoy philosophy of Jews, where everything can be. Thank you, ladies. Mr. Brady, would you like to say a couple of words?